Hello, good evening, everybody. Welcome back to the best in paranormal talk radio. This is Beyond the Darkness. I'm your host, Dave Schrader, along with me, Tim Dennis. Tomorrow night, mysterious tales from people you'd least expect. Dr. Karen Stolzno will be our guest. But tonight, Tim.
Yes.
We are a night away from the premiere of the second season of The Ghost Brothers, now on TLC. So joining us for the first time on the show, you get to meet the Ghost Brothers.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. You don't have TLC. You don't have Destination America, Tim, because you're, you know, living hand to mouth out of the backseat of a car. You don't get to watch these shows, but you've been missing out because I'll tell you the one thing that's been missing in the paranormal field on TV shows are people having fun.
That's true.
And I got to tell you,
nobody has fun on these shows.
Oh, that's not true. These guys have a lot of fun. Joining us this evening, we have two of the Ghost Brothers are with us right now. We have Dalen Spratt. He's with us this evening, and he's the leader of the group. Dalen identifies, researches, and organizes the locations that the Ghost Brothers investigate. And joining us, we have the newest member of the group, Atlanta-based Marcus Harvey. He is a barber with a celebrity clientele and began cutting Dalen's hair 6 years ago when he shared his paranormal experience with Dalen of being asleep and having a vivid sensation of an entity putting their hands over his mouth. Dalen quickly invited Marcus to join the club. Is that because you realize how easy he would be to control if you just hold your hand over his mouth? You've got control of the conversation.
Ain't no controlling this, bro. Ain't no controlling this, guys.
I got to tell you, I it's a fun show to watch, and I really appreciate that. You know, I mean, we've been friends with the guys from Ghost Hunters, Ghost Adventures, Paranormal State, Most Haunted, Paranormal Lockdown. And I really enjoy the energy you guys bring to the show. Not saying I don't enjoy what everybody else does, but you guys really seem to be having a good time with one another and a good time with the histories and locations that you investigate. Let's start off with you, Dalen, as the leader of this group. What really inspired you? What got you involved into the paranormal?
I mean, it's funny because like, I had experiences that happened to me when I was a child. And, you know, you question those things. You don't have the same understanding as a 7-year-old as you do as a 25-year-old. And I just remember, man, being a roommate with Juwan after college. And I woke up one night and one of the ghost shows was on television. It had to be like 2-3 o'clock in the morning. And I just was looking at the show and I was like, I don't ever see any representation of myself on any of these shows. And I just got to thinking, like, I wonder, like, do black people just don't do this? Like, do minorities just don't dabble in the spirit world? And then I started thinking about my past, you know, just growing up in a religious back, you know, household. My mother's a pastor of a church. And I start questioning all those things. And then, you know, I ran to Juwan's room and asked him, like, hey, bro, man, what do you think about us, like, you know, ghost hunting, man? Like, you know, let's try for ourselves and see, maybe there's a reason why black people aren't doing this. And, you know, here we are, you know, literally it's like 6-7 years later with a blessing. You got Marcus involved. Marcus came shortly thereafter. You know, he really loved the concept, man. And he brings like the most positive energy ever to the team. Like his sense of humor and his energy and his knowledge of the equipment is just like unparalleled. Like, I don't know where we would be if Marcus didn't join the team.
Well, and it's kind of cool, like I said, to watch the energy. And I always wondered, you know, we used to watch Fear and the different iterations of that kind of show. And, you know, to be honest with you, I always enjoyed when they would show the African-American families going in to investigate because, A, it was so much more fun and animated to watch the teams go in and investigate or the families do that. And I always wondered, like you, why is there not a heavier representation in the paranormal field? We've done live investigations and big broad scale events at locations across the United States as well. And even in the public attending, there are maybe one or two African-American members that'll come to these events and they'll laugh and tell me that they're more rare in the paranormal field than a clear picture of Bigfoot. And I you know, that was really astounding to me because I know that there's a lot of background in spirituality and religion and bringing that. Do you think that that's what keeps a lot from coming forward is because, A, they maybe are fearful of the religious upbringing they were a part of and afraid that this won't fly with the family? Or what do you believe is the reason that the representation is so low?
Well, I mean, I think that it's more so not necessarily fear. Oh, well, I guess you could say fear, but I really wouldn't want to go with fear. I just think that Black folks have had their minds on other things that were alive, and they didn't really have time to go like find stuff that's dead. You know what I'm saying? Cats had to really live. Black folks got to live. They ain't got time for no playing no games with the dead. You know what I'm saying? Like, we try not to get shot while you're playing over there. You know what I'm saying?
So I'm with you.
I think what's happened is with what me, Dalen, and Juwan have done is just like we've more so like just pretty much just gotten accustomed just being adventurous, man. And I think that's what shows in our enthusiasm when we do our investigations. It shows that we, you know, we're really into what we're trying to do. And it's just a cool little situation, man.
I will tell you, communicating with the dead is easier than getting all three of you guys together on this interview. Juwan, are you there?
Because Tim got that old Metro phone, man. That's on Tim. He ain't even got no cable.
Yeah, I know.
So I know his phone rag.
That's the problem. You got him. Juwan, are you with us?
I am here.
Hey,
I know
Juwan.
You weren't talking about my phone.
No. Tim, it's my producer trying to patch you three in together here. Now joining us on the line as well, the third member of the team, Juwan Mass from Chicago, my hometown. Juwan's fascination with the paranormal started at just the age of 12 years old when he would go ghost hunting in graveyards. What graveyard did you go investigate, Juwan? Which one did you go see?
Oh, man, it was a graveyard in Mississippi, in the deep south, man, not too far from the Gulf Coast. It's in a small town called Escatawpa, Mississippi. It's where my family's from. So I don't actually know the name now, of the graveyard itself.
What would you consider ghost hunting, and how old were you when you were doing it? Was it more of an exploration and just trying to see if you were going to get freaked out, or were you doing an actual investigation?
That was more so, honestly, like it started at a young age, but it started from like a dare perspective, right? Like you always knew that we don't go play around in graveyards, right? And they're like, so the dare of the child's like, hey, go run around in that graveyard. And it's like, there's a ghost out there that chase kids, right? And it's like, man, I don't believe that. As a young age, I'm like, man, I don't believe it, man. I'm gonna go check it out. And I went out there, and lo and behold, something started running after me.
Really? Something started moving. Now, could you hear footsteps, or was it just like a flash of light or a mist? What was it that was following you?
I don't know to the day what was following, but I do know, you know how like you can feel the presence of something behind you.
Uh-huh.
And it's like when you're running, you're like, what is that? And you turn to look and there's nobody behind you. It's like none of the other kids were with me. And then it's like, I still hear this I still feel like I'm not out here alone. And that was just like one of the scariest things.
Now, Marcus, we read briefly in your bio what kind of got you involved. So were you having a moment of sleep paralysis? Did you wake up and feel like somebody was covering your mouth? How did this happen for you?
Yeah, very much so. I was actually having a very just weird dream. I was having a very weird night. One of those type of situations where, and actually the apartment building that I lived in, come to find out, was a very, 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 very potent project. There was a lot of shootings and a lot of murders there. So I just was having a very vivid dream about just, you know, some violence, and all of a sudden something just like covered my mouth. And as I woke up, like you said, just that sleep paralysis. And it just kind of made me want to kind of look into it a little bit more. Of course, you know, with our spiritual backgrounds, you know, we test everything to, you know, demonic stuff. So, you know, now I think with us being in the field of ghost hunting or in the field of the paranormal investigations, we kind of are starting to, you know, figure out what is what, you know what I'm saying? So now I think our spiritual background has helped us a lot, because it's allowed us to kind of start being able to identify the difference between the two in a sense of what we feel like.
Dalen, I need to know, what was the idea when you decided to get this show together with Juwan and move forward, you know, to keep a lighter tone? Was that, did production try to force you to be dark and brooding and scary? Or did you just say, no, we're just going to be ourselves with this show?
So when we first, you know, started investigating ourselves, you know, your natural personality starts coming out because you're working with your best friends. Mm-hmm. So, you know, this was new to us. Of course, we're laughing. You know, we're afraid. We're joking with one another to ease the tension. But that just comes with being with your best friends. And when we initially sat down with the network, that was our only request. Two things, like we didn't want to be made a mockery out of. And we wanted to be able to be ourselves on television. Like, we didn't want, like, we're not those other guys. Like, we're not aggressive people. Like, we're not angry. Like, we're polite. We're Southern gentlemen from the, you know, we got Juwan's from the Midwest. We say please and thank you. Yes, sir. No, sir. Yes, ma'am. No, ma'am. Like, we want who we really are to shine through. And I think that's what comes through when you watch Ghost Brothers. And it's just been a blessing to link up with DA and TLC and them allowing us to be us and not trying to change us at all.
Yeah, that's great. And I know a lot of the shows all started off very strict. And you know, like we're buddies, like you said, with a bunch of the different guys from the shows. Ghost Adventures was very tight at first. And in a good way, they were just trying to be very regimented. But they've certainly let their personality start to explode as the seasons progress. It was great to see you guys come out of the shoot just being yourself and having fun with it. I'm curious, do they ever bring you a location, Juwan, where they're like, you know, let's look into this, and you start reading the history and you think, oh no, we're not going to that place.
You're actually, go ahead, Juwan. They gonna see that this season.
You're gonna see that. No, they that's funny.
See that this season. They definitely yeah, it's see funny.
Man, I don't even know where to start, but yeah, no, that like I guess and what Dalen just said, what Marcus just said, you guys are going to see that this season. Yeah, they brought us to a location this season, man, and it's called the House of Wills. And the House of Wills is in Cleveland, and really it was one of those things where we started reading the history, and it was like at first it was like, hey, this used to be a Masonic lodge that was built for to harness energies, and then from there it transitions to being a funeral home, and now this guy has it, and he's really trying to do community outreach stuff with it. And what ended up happening was we did our
he ain't doing no community outreach.
No, hold on. No, but no. But what ended up happening was we did the research on the place and found out this guy's not doing community outreach with it. That's the word he used to spin it. But he's practicing like satanic movement out of that place.
Whoa.
And yeah. And that was our response. And when I tell you, it took everything in us not to be like, you know what? We're not doing this place, guys. We can't do this place. Marcus is like, couldn't even hold it. I don't even want to spill the beans, but Marcus couldn't even hold an interview.
A firestorm. It was a firestorm.
Yeah.
When you're looking.
Like, it was like there was.
Yeah, go ahead.
No. I was just saying it was just crazy. That's all I'm going to say.
When you're looking for locations to investigate, Dalen, as kind of the leader of the group and putting this stuff together, are there places that you will avoid over other places because of the history? Or do you find that, you know, you're open to any kind of experience?
Man, and that's a fine line that we walk and we debate within ourselves every investigation, because we do want to hold true to our religious background, and we know what we're potentially walking into. Like, I was talking to my mother the other day, and it's not funny actually, but she's, like I said, she's a pastor of a church, and she was just telling me, she was just like, baby, like, if you guys really genuinely knew what you were getting yourselves into, you wouldn't do it. And I was just, and it's just a look on her face when she said that. And I immediately got what she meant, because there are some very, very, very dark places. And we try to, you know, investigate everything, but not take it too far. Like, we don't want to play with the devil. Like, that's to us, that's just too far. Like, knowing that you're practicing and worshiping Satan and invoking these negative spirits and conjuring all this stuff, we try to stay away from that, you know, knowing, like, if we know that that's going on, because that's, I don't know, that just, I feel like it goes against our spiritual background. So, yeah, so that's our take on it.
I would say that, this is Juwan, so to piggyback off what Dalen was saying, like, I would say that we are aware that there's a journalistic aspect to what we're doing, right? Like, you still have to go in remaining objective. So we don't allow our personal beliefs to cloud any of the judgment, per se, or allowing us not to have open conversation with whoever we may meet in these locations. But we just don't want to find ourselves doing a voodoo practice to try and conjure up any spirits, or participating in any like satanic movement to evoke any type of activity in the place. Right?
Right.
Because like, that's not something we're here to embrace. While we're here to understand that particular side of it, but not necessarily
practice.
Partake in that. Yeah.
Right. You're there to document. You're there for the experience and documentation of what's going on. You're not there to incite it. You're there just to report on what's happening, correct?
Exactly. Right. Yeah. Exactly.
And I think that's why we have the personalities that we have, because we're trying to really just get, you know, reactions from what's happening. You know what I'm saying? We're trying to get to the bottom of it. So that's why we use the charm that we have. We use the thought processes, the stuff that's like, you know, the visual provoking that we use now, you know, things of those natures that just try to make our investigation a little bit deeper. And like, you know, just to piggyback on what Juwan was saying, you know, even in this beginning, this process, you know, years ago, we've kind of come to, you know, find out a lot more things about, you know, the paranormal and the spiritual, such as like voodoo being a religion and not necessarily a like satanic type of connection to it. Right. You know, it's just being a different type of, you know, religion. And so, you know, those are just the amazing things that we actually get to find out when we do our investigations, just, you know, the difference of cultures, the difference of, you know, these practices, and it continues to make us have to always, you know, reevaluate how we think about what we're doing, you know?
Tim, you have a quick question.
Well, in the same respect too, and I want to throw this at Dalen first, you guys have an opportunity to go places where other investigators on television don't. And I'm going to throw an example at you. You mentioned a Masonic Hall in this season. And I don't know if you guys are familiar with Prince Hall Freemasonry.
Right.
Okay. So in that example, and for listeners that aren't familiar with Prince Hall Freemasonry, that's the black chapter of Freemasonry, which some may call a clandestine chapter of Freemasonry. But you have that opportunity to go into a Prince Hall Freemason hall and be able to have some sort of rapport with the spirit on the other side. In that respect, would you cross that boundary and would you go investigate a Prince Hall Freemason hall? Would you do something and go into an area where, let's say, somewhere where ghost adventures or ghost hunters may go and may not have that rapport with the spirit?
Yeah, of course. Like, and then we have no issue, you know, investigating places like that or in inquiring about the history. And what got us about the House of Wills was that when the Masonic Lodge was built, it was built to harness energy, which is a dope concept and a dope story. Mm-hmm. So we were anxious to go in and find out more about that and understand. It's in the middle of like one of the African-American communities in Cleveland, which is really dope. And then for it to transition from that to one of the largest black-owned funeral homes in Cleveland made the experience even more dope. So if you're going by the initial theory that this building was built to harness energy for the Masons, and now it's a funeral home, you have to still abide by the same theory that these emotions and dread and sorrow is being captured in this building from the funerals now. So now after that is over, the current state of that building is it's a practicing satanic temple. So if you're still going with that theory, then all these satanic rituals are stirring up so much type of negative energy or satanic energy, and it's still being harnessed in this building. So now you have us going into this building, and, you know, it's like poking a bear with a stick. Like, you know it's negative, you know it's bad, you know it's the devil in here, and now we're going in there trying to entice something. And that's what kind of gets us a little worried, because, yeah, at the end of the day, it's a television show. But at the end of the day, we got to go home.
Right.
You know what I mean? And
we all saw that documentary with the guy who followed the bears and saw what happened to him at the end of the show.
Yeah.
We're not trying to have, you know, on a very special episode of Ghost Brothers and have a big memory. And this is a lot of sad music. And one of us getting thrown against the wall. Ain't nobody trying to have that. We just came to have a good time, investigate some stuff. I don't want to mess with the devil. He cool. I'm cool. He not cool, really. But, I mean, I'm cool.
Have you guys, now, and I apologize, so many of the shows start to bleed together for me. Have you had a chance to investigate the Sorrell Weed House in Savannah?
Man,
yes.
We did, but we didn't do it for the show. That's funny. We did it prior to filming Ghost Brother.
The reason I ask this, and especially with your heritage and background, to go to some of these southern homes where slavery was still a part of their history, and especially at Sorrell Weed House with the young lady that was beaten and hung in the back room there. When you go to an experience like that, when we were in there, I mean, I'm not going to lie, we're in there, a bunch of white people doing an investigation, asking for signs from this poor woman that was beaten, perhaps sexually raped, and then hung. And we're getting nothing. And there was a young girl that was in, I would say, late teens, early 20s, of African-American descent, and she went up there by herself. She said she just wanted to go up there and kind of immerse herself in that situation. She wasn't sensitive overall, but she came down with one of the most chilling EVP I've ever heard. And when she came back down, she was starting to play and replay this audio for us, and she just began weeping. And I went over and I said, "What's wrong?" And she played back this piece of audio, and it broke my heart. She said, "They come here to watch me and to talk with me, and they know nothing about me." And it was like this full-on conversation, this whole sentence structure, and my jaw just hit the floor. I was like, holy hell. You know,
what's crazy?
Yeah, I was about to say, Marcus, you spent time in that room, didn't you?
I actually, and this is the craziest thing. This was me, Daylon, and Juwan's first investigation. And we did our first isolation moment, and I was actually the first one, which is kind of weird. I was the first one to sit in the isolation by myself with Molly upstairs.
Okay.
And the crazy thing about it, we set up candles, and it was just a very, very unique, chilling situation. Now, I didn't really know how to do an EVP that well just yet. I didn't know how to do any type of equipment. Like, so it would be very unique for us to go back there just to have a different experience now. We even stayed the night, which we're not going to do this time because we already did that. So I don't even want, if anybody's listening, we ain't staying the night. But, you know what I'm saying? Just, I would love to see what it would be like now, because in that situation, I had, you know, the REM pod go off ridiculously crazy. And it was just a very chilling situation because, like I said, that was, you know, our first investigation. And you have at the highest heights your every imagination of every haunted movie you've ever seen. But the crazy thing was, I actually apologized for everything that had happened to her.
Yeah.
And I think that was a very, and that's something that we've always done. We've always tried to bring, you know, emotion back into, you know, these investigations. And, you know, a lot of times just try to help these people like cope, you know what I'm saying? Cause that's what we all believe in with this, you know, paranormal, that it's just, you know, people lingering. So,
we've got a lot more to cover with the guys. All three of the Ghost Brothers are here with us tonight on Beyond the Darkness.
All right, let me break this. Thank God. Found him. Complete and total favor. If there's anyone here, you can speak to me now through this device. Not tetanus. How many people are here with me right now? Where exactly are you?
Welcome back to the best in paranormal talk radio, Beyond the Darkness. We've got the Ghost Brothers. All three Ghost Brothers are with us right now. Daylon Spratt, Juwan Moss, and Marcus Harvey. I find it fascinating, too, to put yourselves in the mindset of the eras that you're investigating. And you, as Tim was kind of alluding to, you guys have a unique perspective on history that many of the current paranormal shows and investigators won't have a connection with. You know, when we did the Stanley Hotel in Estes Park, Colorado, it was brought to our attention that in one of the drawing rooms, women were allowed, but they had to stand there silently unless they were spoken to. And there were women that had been seen going around, but we never caught any kind of evidence of a woman speaking, anything, until one of the men who was doing the investigation began giving permission for the women to speak. And then we started getting EVP. They started living by the rules of that era by saying, you know, ladies, when we address you, you will respond to us. You will speak to us, you know, acting like they were part of that time in history. And they got that response. Are you reticent to investigate locations where we know that slaves were treated poorly, that there is these hauntings? Is it hard to face that part of history and go into break into an investigation knowing that, and that's a much different aspect than any of the rest of us out investigating will actually run into.
You know what? The fact that you brought that up, it's funny because in the first season we went to the Magnolia Plantation,
right,
in Louisiana.
Yeah, I love that episode, by the way. That was a great one.
Thank you. So for us, that was all three of our first times, like on a real life, like plantation. Like mm-hmm. you learn about it in school, you hear about it in history, all that good stuff, but you've never really been on it. And to be on that plantation and to start an investigation, all the notes that were given to us and all the research that we did, like the story was about these slaves who practiced voodoo onto the slave masters. Like it was just this whole negative scenario. These slaves are bad. They're evil. They're practicing voodoo. It's a dark place. So we get to this plantation, and that's not what we felt. We didn't feel that when we were in the slave quarters and on the yard where the slaves were. Like we got more so, it felt right. Like it felt welcome. Like there wasn't any animosity that we were there. And I think it's because of the way that we took the story. Like we really listened to the story, and we start to think and understand the way the slaves' mentality was back then. Like in 2017, we're criticizing these people for using voodoo to, you know, cast spells on their slave owners. But when you really think about it, these people were uprooted from their home and brought to America and forced into labor, beaten, killed. And the only thing that they had was their religion to hold on to. And their religion at that time was voodoo. And voodoo was something that closely, you know, paralleled Christianity. So if you bring it back to 2017, if someone was to uproot you from your home and put you in a messed up situation, all you would have is your faith, and you will be praying day in and day out. So on one end, it does look crazy, but on the other end, you can kind of understand it. And I think by us seeking that understanding, it was a whole different feel and vibe on the plantation for us. And it was kind of cool, man. I don't know about y'all. How'd y'all feel, Marcus? Like, Juwan, did you guys like?
And we came on that, plantation, like, boom, we came back for y'all, man. We came back representing, like, you know, we got, just being honest, man, we got white folks filming us. I'm just being honest. It was just like, it was a combination of, like, we bringing back our, you know, we were your prayers. Like, we were your freedom that, you know, you had. So, like, when we came on that plantation, we came with the respect of, like, yo, this is like your proud son coming back. You know, showing that, you know, what they've done and how their prayers have come, you know, to be answered. So, like you said, I mean, I think it does give us an advantage because, you know, typically we've gotten contact from, you know, some of my other minorities while we've been on, you know, in these things with one Miguel. Episode at the Miguel or Michael or, you know what I'm saying? So we got a lot of, you know, I think that it's because we come from a respectful place, you know what I'm saying? Like, we never disrespect any of the spirits. You know, the slave runners ain't gonna come at us, you know, because now we know we can fight back, homie. What's up?
But that's a fascinating aspect of this story. Yeah, I'm curious. Most of the hauntings that we hear about now, you don't really hear about groovy disco dancing ghosts, right? You don't hear about hammer pants wearing spirits from the 80s. What we seem to be dealing with is late 1800s, early 1900s, where certainly African Americans were looked at in a much different light. Do you think it plays against you to go into some of these locations being black that maybe these spirits aren't going to respond to you because of your race and who you are?
You would think that, but in every location that we seem to go to, and there have been some, you know, some stories that happened that were involved and centered around race relations, we still get a lot of responses. It's like, they talk to us like there's no beating around the bush. There's no, you know, red light, green light. Like they really come out and really engage with us.
Who do you believe is engaging with you though? Is it people of color or is it the white groups that would have been isolating you?
All of them. Cause I mean, like even when you go back to that theory about the late 1800s and stuff, I think most of these spirits and paranormal situations that we all have or notice is, you know, about the Revolutionary War, you know, when there's been a lot of turmoil in America, you know, a lot of fighting, a lot of battling, a lot of brother going versus brother, you know, taking people from their families, that type of stuff. So, I mean, I think that was just that those type of times. But like, man, I think that even sometimes when we do go in those places, like they look at us like the audacity of these black kids coming in,
to talk to me. And then they'd be like, you know, they get a little rowdy sometimes. And like, I think that that kind of works to our advantage too. So we get our people like, yeah, right on, brother. And then we get, you know, the other ones like, hey, get your butt out of here. You know,
that was an amazing, amazing imitation.
We got all of y'all in EVP, so you good.
Do you ever get the sense that there's an apology? Do you ever get the sense that there's regret from the white slave owners, the landowners, for what they did and the way they treated the people that were employed there?
Hell no.
I don't. I don't know because I'm gonna be honest.
No
like,
apologies coming.
You feel? Remember when we did the Magnolia Plantation, and I went and investigated with Joe, our guest investigator, and we were at the overseer's house, and this is where like he saw, he saw a full body apparition of a soldier in the window of the overseer's house. So Joe was standing outside, and I went inside the house. In the room where he said he saw this apparition and was looking at Joe outside the window, and he held an EVP session and basically told the, like, basically got a response of like, walk. Basically he asked the overseer or the spirit there if like, yo, do you not like the fact that my black friend here is in your room? Or do you not like that? Like, if I leave him in there, man, that's on you. And like, he got the response of walk. In other words, like, you're not wanted here.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
if you were given the opportunity to go into a major historical site like Ford's Theater, where Abraham Lincoln was assassinated, to be in that,
I would love to,
in that kind of environment. Yeah. And I heard that they, you know, have allowed some independent investigations kind of undercover doing that. And I don't know if they'd be open to that, but if you had an opportunity to possibly confront the spirit of Abraham Lincoln, what would that be like for you to be there in that presence?
I mean, I think that would be dope, bro. I think that would be dope to go to the place Abraham Lincoln was shot and to hold like an EVP session, man. I think that would be epic. I would have a lot of, I would have a few questions for Honest Abe, myself.
For Honest Abe.
Yeah. But that would be cool. I would love to, man. That's a good idea.
We also want to do the White House, actually. That's one of our goals. So you heard it first. We want to do the White House.
Yeah, I think everybody wants to do the White House. That's the problem. It would be fascinating, though, because it does have such rich history and so many different style ghosts, from Civil War ghosts that are seen in the property to Abraham Lincoln and other presidential ghosts throughout the building. Let's talk about from season one. We'll go down the line. Dalen, what was one of your favorite locations from season one?
My favorite location from season one is definitely the Allen House. So what was that, like Monticello? What was that, Arkansas?
Yep.
I think that was it.
Yep. Monticello, Arkansas.
What about that house specifically stands out for you?
Man, just the fact that a family actually really to this day lives in there. Like, that's what's always creepy to me. Like, we go to all these different abandoned buildings and locations where people aren't. But to have an active house where people are actively living, where you have babies, toddlers, teenagers, and a husband and wife living in this house, they're seeing doppelgangers. They're having all type of paranormal experiences happening to them every single day. Like, that's what's scary. Real life type stuff is what's scary to me.
Juwan, what was one of your favorite episodes from season one?
One of my favorites would have to be the Fitzpatrick Hotel in Washington, Georgia. And it's one of the same reasons, that's still a functioning hotel to this day. So they actually closed it down for us for the day, and we actually spent the night. And that was interesting as well, because, you know, you get to apply certain tricks. Like, if you pull the covers over your head, like, that's a force field. Like, ghosts can't get you.
and that's in the Bible?
It is. Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, that is.
That's like the 11th commandment. Thou shalt not penetrate sheets or blankets.
It is. They cannot penetrate. Like, now if you have like a little limb or your toe exposed,
oh right,
it's a wrap. Like, they're getting in. Mm-hmm. They're getting in. But as long as you got it over your head and it's sealed, man, you are good to go.
And looking at those type of investigations when you're looking at not just an exposed building or an empty shell, but in a location where there's still business, there's still people there. Are you fascinated by the fact that they continue to just want to be surrounded by this kind of sense of death?
Yes.
Keeps them alive. I think that's what keeps them alive. I mean, you know, even in that Fitzpatrick Hotel, like he, like Juwan brought up, I actually was touched. That was my first experience of actually being touched by an entity. Like it was most creepy angel? Thing in my. It wasn't no angel. There was no Della Reese in there. There was no devil. It was cross your hearts. No, none of that stuff. None of that stuff happened, and it was just crazy. But I think that it is like I think one of the things that she said is like it reminds them that they have to stay alive all the time. So. Yeah. I think that's something that kind of is a very unique type of outlook to have on it, too. So, you know, the family that lives in the Allen House, you know, very highly educated. This, you know,
very educated.
I mean, like the son is like the son. I think he did my taxes for me while I was there. And I don't even know. I got like $20,000. I don't nobody try to come after me. But the son was a genius. You know, the father written many books about the house, you know, and they were just, I guess they were just so involved and so enamored with the story that they had to just live there. So, you know, and it just was, and they caught it on a deal too, not to mention. So,
but if you blow up. But if you think about it, man, it might be something to living in a house with spirits. Because if you think about it, man, no matter how bad your day is, like their day is a little bit worse than yours, man. So if you
but ain't nobody chipping in on the rent, bro. Like ain't nobody else putting in on these bills. So right. it's like you got all these people in your occupying your residence, but and nobody's y'all out here putting cutting in
lights.
On this.
You spirits out here cutting lights on and off, but y'all ain't paying no bills.
Well, you know they've got to be fascinated because if these are some of the ghosts from the turn of the century, to see electric lights in the house. I wonder if that's part of the reason they play with these light switches is because it's, wow, what the hell is this, right? And do they mess with our electronics because of that same aspect?
I'm going to be honest. When I first, like, figured out what a glow stick was, like, when you crack your first glow stick, you're wondering, like, how that works. So I'm pretty sure they're in there just flipping light switches on and off because it's like, oh, I've never seen these before.
Yeah, them spirits just ain't been in the house with a black mama did. That's all that.
Right.
Marcus, what was your favorite experience so far?
I think this location that I've loved the most has to be the definitely has to be the Magnolia Plantation. I mean, that was one of the first ones that we kind of really got our you know investigation on. Like we you know got to really feel the essence of something. We got to get the history of some you know of the whole story, and you know we got a lot of activity. And actually, to be honest, we even got more activity that was even shown on the show. And that's the amazing thing about it is like sometimes we'll be watching the show and we're like, dang, they didn't even put that last part that happened. Like we've had some crazy things happen. And I think that is, like I said, it's just amazing to just be a part of this type of movement.
When you're going into a historic location like that and you know the history in the background, before you leave, do you have any special rituals or prayers that you do for the people or the spirits that may still be there?
Marcus Man. Usually breaks out in a freestyle, but we'll save that.
No, but we do. We pray before and after that we go into these locations, man. So we pray not only for our protection, but just for the spirits that may or may not be trapped in these locations, that they find peace and they can move on to wherever they're moving on to, man. So, like, we try to do our best, man.
And then we were always taught that, like, you have to tell the spirits to stay there, right? Like, you have to, like, basically instruct the spirits that you do not want them to follow you. Stay here. And it was a pleasure hanging out with y'all while we were at this location, but we gonna leave.
You ain't gotta go home, but you gotta get up out of here.
Yeah, we gonna leave. And y'all go ahead and chill.
Do any of your other cast members, like the cameramen, soundmen, do they ever get freaked out by what's going on when you're filming?
Man, we have a real solid team. We have a real solid team who try to crack, you know, try their best not to be cracked. Like, they're quiet. Like, they don't get in the way. But there are times when they do get afraid, too. So anytime the cameraman breaks that third wall, then like, we know, like, it's some serious stuff going on.
No, literally. This was a remember we were at this season, bro. Remember, guys, we was at Sawmill and we were pretty much wrapping up the night. And I'm talking about like we were all like congregating, like, all right, great night, guys. We're gonna ahead and call it. It had to be like 3 a.m. or something like that, 4 a.m. And all of a sudden we hear this loud, like, I mean, like this loud bang on the side of like one of the metal barns. And literally all you hear is our production manager. He's like, oh, fuck, what was that? And I'm talking about 40, breaks out in like 4.2 speed flat to like one of the vans. He's like, oh, my God. Like, he got scared upon belief. And mind you, he's like the size of Bane. And you're like, yo, what are you doing, bro? Like. They get scared just like we do.
Yeah, I've been on set a couple times watching that when I've seen cameramen or audio guys start to get something really unnerving. And it's funny because to them, it's just a job until they start to experience the paranormal as well. And then, some of them have not returned to the job. Has there been a location you've gone to that you felt at the end of it was really flat? They're just like, this was way overhyped. This is nothing compared to, the real paranormal.
Yep.
Yep. Well, that was well spoken. What can you tell us where? Yep.
What didn't we have a location where we were like, I feel like there may be something in there, but it just wasn't biting for us. It was like, man, they must be fish in this sea, but I just don't think the fish are biting tonight. Where are we at? Was it the elementary school or something?
I think so. Post Town.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. Post Town, yeah. Yeah, I agree with you. That's seems to be pretty hit or miss for a lot of people and quite a questionable location. What are your dream locations, guys? And we'll go down the line again. Dalen, what would be the one place, aside from the White House and Graceland kind of thing? I mean, the ones that we'll never get into. What would be a place that you really want to make sure you hit during one of these seasons?
So for my birthday last year, I have a it's a distant cousin. He works for Alcatraz. So for my birthday last year, he was able to give me and a friend of mine a private tour of Alcatraz. So he took us to below the grounds and just all these forbidden places that you can't go to. And I was just thinking to myself, man, like, this is probably one of the creepiest places I've ever been to. And this is in the daytime.
Yeah.
I was like, I can only imagine being inside of Alcatraz on that island at night. You know what I'm saying? With just a handful of people. I think that is like the number one place on my list is hitting up Alcatraz.
Well, I will tell you from personal experience, I was on Alcatraz at night with a small group of people. It is. Really? Oh, man. You talk about the most foreboding, just bizarre senses. And you get to spend the night there. You sleep in the cells.
See?
And when we were in there, you'd be laying there and all of a sudden you'd start to hear clinking like somebody's rubbing something along the bars. And you're like, knock it off. And everybody's like, I'm still in bed. And you could hear it walking down the halls, clinking the bars like it was one of the police or something with their baton. Just being a dick, rattling the bars just to irritate the prisoners. But and then to go into some of these cells and down into some of the areas, that I'll give you that, Dalen. I hope you get a chance to go in there because it is a really unnerving sense. And you're surrounded by water. Yeah, and then
exactly
what's really kind of sad and creepy all at once is you can hear what's going over on the coast. You can hear the parties and the music and stuff. And only to imagine what that must have been like for prisoners. And exactly. You'll be hit with these waves of emotion. It was really a bizarre opportunity. But I wish you a lot of luck. I hope to see that in the next season. What about you, Juwan? What would you really like to investigate?
I think I would. I mean, that Alcatraz one, man, that's up there on the top of the list.
Right.
But I think I would want to do maybe an underwater investigation.
Really?
Yeah. So like if we could do like, I don't know, man, a ship that a sunken ship or something, man. I think an underwater investigation would be dope.
I don't know. You could throw me in a room with 10 demons before I would go underwater in the dark to investigate where there's sharks and jellyfish and octopus. So you guys have a lot bigger balls than I do, because there's no way you would find me underwater doing that kind of stuff. What about
what,
Marcus? What would be a place that you'd love to hit at some point?
I think I would love to do something in the mountains, some type of like something in the snow, something deep in, like, I don't know, somewhere like maybe maybe somewhere in San Francisco where the, you know, gold mining was done, a lot of stuff like that, maybe somewhere over there.
Cool. But there's no historic place that kind of leaps out at you that you think, you know?
Not just yet. No, not just yet.
Well, there's so many cool places, right, too, when you're looking at this, and I'm sure you're vetting out and trying to pick a season, you know, how do you pick which locations you want to hit knowing that there's such rich history in so many of them? Has there been any places that you looked at and you just said straight out, nope, we're not doing this place?
No, not yet. We sit down as a collective team and we all throw out, you know, different options and stuff. We know the types of places that we like to go, but we're more so interested in like the stories associated with the place. Yeah. So if a place has a really interesting story or a story that's outside the norm, that's what's like, you know, gets our attention.
Is there something that a tool that you prefer, each one of you? I loved on this new episode watching it, Thornhaven Manor, and utilizing the REM pod and the SLS cameras and things like that. But is there a specific tool you like best for investigating with? Dalen, we'll start with you.
Yeah, man. So this season, we really upped our equipment. Mm-hmm. And so as of right now, man, I'm really feeling, like you said, the SLS camera. This is our first time breaking it out because we know it's a fairly expensive camera. So a lot of people don't just get to have their hands on it all willy nilly. So it's definitely a blessing to be able to get our hands on it for the show, man. And it's powerful. Like that thing, like that will definitely scare the crap out of you, man, if you get it at the right time.
I will. I'll send you guys through an email a video I caught at the Palmer House Hotel on the SLS camera. That easily goes down as one of the creepiest videos I've ever seen. It's chilling because, again, you guys have seen, right? You get it. And sometimes these stick figures are very stagnant. They're just standing there. They're not really interacting. They're there 1 second, gone the next. We had a ghost walk from behind a chair, come and sit down in the chair. And then the woman that was talking to him in the chair, so you could see the human physical form in the next chair. And she starts saying, thank you. You know, I'm so glad you're here. I'm having a rough week. My grandmother just passed away. This stick figure reaches over and starts to pat her on the knee like she's calming her.
That's crazy.
Whoa. And that's not even the creepy part. So at this point, we're thinking, this is pretty amazing because I've never seen this kind of interaction. All of a sudden, I decide I want to make sure that I'm not getting a false reading. So I start to scan away with the camera.
Right.
The ghost never, Lucy never leaves the chair. So I scan back, and all of a sudden, another figure pops up behind the chair. Lucy stands up from her chair, moves closer to my friend, almost like she's blocking. This figure then climbs up the wall like Spider-Man, under the overhang of the room, and then vanishes, and then crawls back out through the overhang again. It is one of the most freaky pieces of video coming from the SLS camera. I'll shoot you guys a chance to see that stuff, but that is, I love that. And that's available through Digital Dowsing for anybody out there that's seen it on the shows, want to know where you can get your own SLS camera and investigate with those, digitaldowsing.com. And it's DOWSING, digitaldowsing.com is the way to find that. Bill Chappell is the inventor of that camera. So that's your favorite piece. How about you, Juwan? What's been something tried and true?
Oh, man, you know what? I'm a fan of that thermal camera. I like the thermal cam. I've been fooled on it once.
Right.
Because in the first season, I thought I had something, but it was an air conditioned unit. And then and then I used it again in the first season. And, I got hit by a thorn bush trying to scan the outside of the Allen house. So I haven't had the best success with it, but it's really interesting to me, man, because, like, heat sensitivity is not going to lie.
Right. And Marcus, what part of the investigation do you like most? What kind of tools?
You know, it's kind of funny. I like the old school situation with just the regular EVP, especially when you start getting real deep into the questioning.
Right.
And you start getting that real strong silence, and then you start getting some type of responses. I think that that's just like as close and as real as you can possibly get, you know, where everybody undeniably can be like, oh, yeah, I heard that. You know what I'm saying? But then just that, like y'all said, man, that SLS cam, I don't know what that thing's on, man. That SLS cam, in Cock County, you're going to see the Cock County episode. You guys will see something on our SLS cam that will go down in history as the most SLS situation in Cam history. That's what's about to happen with that one.
I like that. The most SLS in Cam history. Okay, so what now for people that missed out on first season, can you tell some of the episodes, some of the locations that you hit up so they can go watch for them?
First season, we were in the Allen House in Monticello, Arkansas. We did the Magnolia Plantation in Louisiana. We did the Delta Queen in Louisiana. We did the Magnolia Hotel in Seguin, Texas. What else we do, fellas? The Fitzpatrick Hotel in Washington, Georgia.
We also did Ohio, and we did the
Prospect Place in Ohio.
Dresden, Ohio.
In Dresden, Ohio. Yep.
And now what can we look forward to season two? I know we start off
Thornhaven Manor in Indiana. We got Jamaica, Montego Bay. We got Rose Hall. We got the Winchester Mansion in San Jose. We're doing the House of Wills in Cleveland, Ohio. We have the elementary school in Ohio. What was the name of that?
Cobb County Memorial Building.
Yeah, we got Cobb County Memorial in Tennessee. Louisiana, we do Longleaf, Louisiana, and do the sawmill. Where else are we at, guys? Is that it?
We get
around this season, man. We get around.
That's great.
I'm gonna let you know, guys. I'm gonna let you know when we're in Montego Bay. It looks like an episode. It looks like Bad Boys 3. I'm just gonna be honest.
Are you freaked out by the idea of, like, you know, ghosts are one thing, disembodied spirits, people that have decided to stay behind. When you start hearing about things like elementals, witches, creatures like that, even some of these vampiric kind of parasitic spirits, does that part of this job unnerve you?
Good. You got it in?
No, go ahead.
No. I think just the whole disembodied aspect is just creepy in itself, right? Like, and you know that these are people that chose to hang around for whatever their sick pleasure may be. You know what I mean? Like, right. Sometimes you feel like it may be, like, from a revenge aspect, or it's just like they just didn't have, like, they had some unfinished business or what have you. But that's just the worst. That's the worst, because it's always like a malevolent spirit. You know what I mean?
Right. Well, not always. I mean, there are some places where you go, even like the Palmer House, there's definitely some malevolent issues, but a lot of it just seems to be ghosts that just, they want to be there. It seems like they're comfortable there. They love these places. And it was, you know, Jeff Belanger, we quote him a lot on the show, the author and researcher, you know, he said something that really struck home with me, saying that ghosts are history's way to remind us of where we've been. And it's kind of like an important part that without them, we might forget some of the horrific nature and some of the beautiful parts of our culture through history.
That's a dope quote.
That's interesting. Yeah, that's a good one. That's a good one.
Now, I've had the good fortune of being on some of the different paranormal shows, and something that's always fascinated me is, you know, it never fails when your cameras aren't running. Sometimes you have the most profound experiences. Has that happened to you guys during the filming of season one or two? Have you had something that happened that you were like, damn it, why didn't we have a camera on? Daylin, what happened to you?
Nah, man, we keep that. That's pretty much rule number one when we film, is that we always keep the cameras rolling. Like, always. So always keep the cameras rolling. Everything that happens is caught on film. Just the only frustrating thing is trying to cram everything into like 44 minutes worth of television.
Yeah.
So like Marcus said earlier, you'll be watching an episode and some of the craziest stuff doesn't even make the show, just because you can't fit everything into, you know, 44 minutes.
Right.
So, yeah, but we always keep the cameras rolling, man. Always.
Juan, have you ever had an issue while you're filming, something paranormal happened to you that wasn't captured on film?
I want to say we had, I don't think this was something that could be, like, I don't think the cameras were up, but sound was rolling. And we were in the Allen House, and we were sitting on the stairs, and I think it was just after an interview or something, and we were repositioning the cameras, but you caught, like, you could, we literally heard the footprints of somebody running up the stairs behind us. Like, and we were like, I mean, the cameras, there was nothing for the cameras to catch, obviously, but we heard the footsteps. And I think audio caught the footsteps, but it was, this was this daylight, fellas?
Yeah.
No, that was no. That was the that was our last night there.
Okay.
And, we were like, you know, we were trying to get on out there, and yeah. At that point we did hear those steps, and like that's where we're like, oh my goodness, like it's crazy. Like he said, we catch a lot of stuff, and we like most of our stuff that we'll catch, it'll be like a lot of audio, of course, but you know, as far as like visually catching stuff, we are very like. As soon as we step on the premises, we're like ready to go. So like, you know, we set certain things up, but like we are ready to go, you know, straight into our investigation. So like you said, there's always a camera in some corner. There's always a camera in one of our hands. There's always a camera, you know, we always have somebody filming, you know, it's just always covered. And, you know, it's just remarkable the amount of stuff that we've gotten, like, you know, like we said before. You know, sometimes the storyline goes several different places and you can't even get to all of the, you know, the things that are happening because this happened and that happened. And, you know, and it's just kind of tough to get all of that into one. So, I mean, we're fortunate, you know, we probably will have it. I mean, we're not immune to that. But, you know, fortunately, we've kept, you know, we've tried to keep everything rolling all of the as soon as we step on the premises. So, you know, we don't miss anything.
Right. Marcus, have you ever had the sense that even after you left a location that you didn't leave alone?
Oh, now here's the funny thing about that. The first season, my first time we went out, my wife was like, don't you bring no dang side ghosts, because that's when we went to the Cinderella's Weed House.
Oh,
and
right.
You know, it was a thought that she was the mistress, and my wife was not playing no side ghosts. So like, for me, I don't bring nothing home. I let these ghosts know we just talking. You know, we're not trying to get into anything too serious. You know, I got something at home. You know, I'm just like, hey, you know, I mind my business. You mind your business. You stay where you at. And like we said, we do actually, before we leave the premises every night, we do pray, cover ourselves, you know, and make sure that we don't bring anything with us. So, you know, I can't have no side ghosts. My wife don't play them games. You know, she's like, who is this ghost? Oh, boo. Who's calling you boo? Who is calling you boo? Why is she so loud? You know, I don't want all that.
Any of you guys feel like you've ever been followed home?
No, not yet, man. I really honestly don't want that to ever happen, man. Like, sometimes, man, you want to leave work at work, man. Like, you don't want to bring work home, man. That's the worst thing ever.
Unfortunately,
then it starts affecting the people around you.
Right, but sometimes when you turn that light on, you start becoming a flame, right? And the moths come to you whether you want them to or not.
Whether you want it or not.
Yeah, and you guys are fresh at this. I mean, you're kind of cutting your teeth doing this. So I often wonder if you have that. I understand you try to set the rules and parameters, and they seem to be working well for you.
No. What I would say is, what I would add to that is, like, I'm not saying that I don't feel like anything's followed us, but I do believe sometimes we've gone places when we've not been working, like just in regular life, and you have felt things. You know, you have felt something move a little bit weird. You know, you have felt like a presence there. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like we said, that's why, you know, like, you know, once you get in this type of like field, like you say, it doesn't like shut off. You're still very closely in tune with, you know. Now you're even more in tune with your spirituality at this point, just to make sure that we try to keep as clear as possible. So, you know, there's been times where, like, you know, we've walked in places and people have asked us, did y'all feel that? Did you feel that? And we actually have, you know what I'm saying? So, I wouldn't say that anything's followed us, but we've gone into places that there was something that people didn't know that was there.
Well, guys, I'm curious with this, and I know time's running out on us here, and I appreciate the time you've given us. But when the show first debuted, it was very confusing to me because it seemed like they were billing it kind of like a comedic poke at ghost hunting shows. And that was in the marketing, it seemed. And even with the new one, it says ghosts get the last laugh when the Ghost Brothers return for an all new season on TLC. And you guys do take this serious, but you have fun. Do you ever worry that maybe the wrong perceptions are being laid out, that this is more of a jokey, satirical view of the paranormal?
I think when we first started last year, we were curious to how we would be accepted because we know it was something new. We knew our approach was different, but we don't ever think or look at ourselves as like, you know, poking fun at. It's more so we don't. It's like we take what we're doing serious, but we don't take ourselves serious. And I think that's where the humor comes into play. And, you know, the network, they do kind of spin it as a more of a, you know, with a comedic undertone, right, which I think is cool because that I think that entices people who aren't familiar with the paranormal. Like, you know, the normal paranormal audience is, you know, it's pretty straightforward. People know what they like. They know what they get into. They can call BS very, very quickly, which is dope. So for us to be accepted by that community first is amazing. Now it's getting people, you know, shedding light on the community to people who may or may not have ever had an interest or knowledge of the paranormal. And sometimes the humor kind of, you know, eases people into it a little bit. So, I mean, I think it's a gift. I think it's a gift. I don't look at it as a negative in any shape, form, or fashion. Because once you watch the show, you then realize, oh, those guys are serious. They just don't take themselves serious.
Well, this is your chance. For a lot of people, this may be your indoctrination. This is the introduction to the Ghost Brothers. What do you want to leave people with tonight that maybe haven't checked out the show yet and you want to get them on board? What do you want to tell them?
Man, we just want people to know, man, like, look, if you're looking for a great time, you know, a great television show that you can watch with the kids, your family, Ghost Brothers is definitely that show. We mix humor and horror. Those are the two best emotions that you can have, man. We're airing TLC Friday night, 9 p.m. Eastern, man. And like I said, it's the perfect mix of comedy and horror.
And it's great. You guys have been moved to TLC. My problem last year was I didn't have Destination America as part of my package. TLC, yeah. We do. I are you guys excited to get moved up to a little bit of the bigger brand, man, station?
Oh, man, we're super excited about that. That's the thing that you really wanted to see. Like, you know, like we really want to introduce this genre to, you know, people that were kind of closed off on it. I'm not saying that we're the only people that are contributing to it, but, you know, we just look at it from the perspective of like, man, we just want to have fun. It's like if you got an opportunity to do something adventurous and something outside the box with your best friends, like this is how you would respond. So like I think everybody who watches it can see themselves in one of us. You know, oh, I'm the Juwan of the group, or I'm the Marcus of the group, or I'm the Damon of the group. You know what I'm saying? And I think that that's something that also allows people to kind of like really relate to us. So, I mean, I think it's just cool. We serious, we funny, we take ourselves serious, and then we don't take ourselves serious. It's just a great, just like humans.
Guys,
we're looking at that stuff.
I would love, and I don't mean this in any racist way possible, I promise you, I would love to see you guys go to the Red Fox home in Las Vegas.
Oh my gosh.
That place is supposedly off the hook, crazy active, with Red Fox still haunting the part. I guess when the family sold the house, they left everything, including his awards and private pictures and clothing in that house. And it's been crazy. I would love to see you guys go in there because I think if anybody is going to get real interaction, I think Red Fox would definitely rather perform for and be a part of your show than any other paranormal show out there. So you guys got to make that happen.
What do you want, you big dummy?
That would be awesome.
Well, look into it. Awesome, I'd love to see it because I really do think if anybody's going to get activity there, it's going to be you guys. That would be amazing. Thanks for breaking boundaries. Thanks for making it fun and bringing your entertaining personalities to it, and not just being focused on being the hard asses of the paranormal. I appreciate the different feel of the show, and I wish you guys a lot of success. And hopefully, we'll get a chance to talk to you at the beginning of season 3 again. Will you come back with us?
Oh, sure,
absolutely, man.
All right. Well, yeah. We appreciate that. Now, the show begins airing again tomorrow on TLC. What time is it on?
9 p.m., 8 Central.
Okay, so 9 Eastern, 8 p.m. Central. Check out your local listings and times in your area. Prime time, you can't miss it. The Ghost Brothers premieres Friday, March 10th, 9 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Central on TLC. Go set your recorders, your DVRs. Make sure you stick with it. Hey, we're back tomorrow, Friday. Mysterious tales from people you'd least expect. And Dr. Karen Stalzno, Tim, is going to be with us.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to discuss a lot of really interesting stories that she's been able to collect from people, including some of the biggest skeptics like Joe Nickel, Tim,
yeah,
and a couple other of the guests like that, that she was able to pull these stories together with. That's tomorrow night. We're going to be back Monday with more Parashare and Supernatural news. We promise we'll be giving you guys that for this week. And I also want to mention, do us a favor, make sure to get your fix of the strange and unusual. You want to keep listening to George Norrie and Coast to Coast AM. That's a show I'm a part of, and I will be back hosting on March 25th. I'd love for you to check that out. But in the meantime, tonight, George Norrie is back on G. Edward Griffin, his guest, writer and documentary film producer. G. Edward Griffin will discuss a variety of his favorite topics, including the role of the Federal Reserve System in the stock market and real estate market bubbles, the illusion that the U.S. is a capitalist country, and the controversial idea of man-made global warming, followed by another guest that'll be announced later this evening on the show. So make sure you check that out. That's it for us. Very special guests this evening. We want to thank all three of the Ghost Brothers. We didn't think we were going to get them all three together. We made it happen, and we want to thank you guys for being a part of the show. So again, we want to thank Dalen Spratt, Juwan Moss, and of course, we want to talk to the new guy, Marcus Harvey, for being a part of the show with us. And for Tim Dennis, I'm Dave Schrader. You've been listening to the best in paranormal talk radio. This is Beyond the Darkness.